This is KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. The Community Build Project has worked to construct tiny homes as a means of providing temporary housing for our local homeless population. Peter's Village was the first incarnation of this project, with 12 tiny homes, or wooden tents, on the grounds of Community United Methodist Church in Port Hadlock. If you drive down San Juan Avenue in Port Townsend, you'll notice the next nearly completed construction phase of the project, brightly colored, secure shelters located on the grounds of Evangelical Methodist Church. On July 31st, we visited the Community Build Open House and spoke with builders, organizers, and organizations about their work, their plans, and their dreams on behalf of our unsheltered neighbors. And now, let's go inside the Compass.
Help to build a better nation. Tiny houses for habitation. Let your mind be free.
I'm Judy Alexander. I'm one of many of the leaders for the Community Build Project. I want you guys to look for the people with name tags when you walk around today. Housing Solutions Network is the organization from which this project was spawned. Six different action teams through Housing Solutions Network. They all are working on different aspects of our housing solutions. Justine Gonzalez-Berg is one of the paid staff. She's over at that table. So please give her, yay, Justine. Please give her some of your time and ask your questions of her. I wanted to take a minute right now to give a very, very special thank you to someone who made this whole place possible for us. Jim Lyman is the minister of this church. This location could not have been more auspicious, not just for today, but for building these shelters. It's like painting them bright colors. Thank you, Jesse Thomas. In the middle of Port Townsend, where everybody has to drive by, lots of people have gotten involved. I don't know if you guys know this, but we have 4 to 6 new volunteers almost signing up every week to help us build more shelters. So I want to invite Michelle Sandoval, our mayor. She's going to read a proclamation about housing that will encompass our thoughts.
The housing crisis didn't happen overnight. It's been building for a decade. If any of you have neighbors that have great fear of these shelters, to ask them to reconsider, to ask them to get involved, because all of our brothers and sisters need housing.
Amen.
And they need it before anything else can change. And now I'm gonna read the proclamation. Whereas housing for our newly and chronically unsheltered is a critical problem for the city of Port Townsend, Jefferson County, the state of Washington, and throughout this country. And whereas safe emergency housing and support services are critically needed for unsheltered residents in Port Townsend and Jefferson County. And whereas providing temporary housing and support services for unsheltered positively impacts all residents of our city and county. And whereas Jefferson County Community Build Project and Bayside Housing Service volunteers have shown their commitment to alleviating this crisis by building secure emergency shelters and creating safe and attractive temporary villages for houseless county residents seeking permanent housing. And whereas many local businesses and individuals willingly donated their time, their funds, and materials to create these structures. And whereas we celebrate their significant collective accomplishments in building safe, attractive, and cost-effective temporary housing. Now, therefore, I, Michelle Sandoval, Mayor of the City of Port Townsend, do hereby proclaim July 31, 2021 as Unsheltered Housing Awareness Day in the City of Port Townsend. On behalf of the city, I thank all of the dedicated volunteers, financial supporters, and businesses who are working to provide safe, attractive, transitional housing for our unsheltered residents our brothers and our sisters. Thank you so much for being here.
I want to invite a couple people from Bayside Housing and Services up here. Bayside is the fiscal sponsor for the Community Build Project, and they've been wonderful to partner with. Rose is a resident of Bayside. She's going to tell you a brief little bit about how she's been doing there, and then we'll have Mike Schlechter come up next. He's the case manager of Peter's Place Village in Hadlock. So come on up, Rose.
I was rescued by angels, and saved from staying in the shelter or living on the woods by the mill, which I was too old to do either one. And then I have been healed by Bayside, because every service that's available, they will help you get into it. And the gardens, and I'm a main volunteer in the garden, and that is very healing. I am so grateful that I want to pay it back, even though I've paid it forward. Working in human services for 30 years, for the hospital, the school district, and three agencies, I think I've paid it a little forward, but now I'm poor. And Gary and Susan and Mike and Vicky and now Kathy, the other new case manager, what they do for us there is amazing. And the people are all good guys that live there. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, Bayside. It's going to make me cry.
So I have been looking at local social media, which might have been a mistake because there's some negativity out there about our projects. I think they are stereotyping when they think of our residents. I think they are imagining the worst. And when I talk to my residents and the residents at the campgrounds, I say, when people label you, remember your identity. When people stereotype you, remember your identity. This work is not an obligation. This work is a privilege. It's a privilege to help these people. And that is what you're all doing. You're helping people who are in distress. You're helping people whose lives are literally in the balance if they do not get shelter. So I want to say thank you so very, very much to all of you for this.
My name is Scott Rosecrans, and I am the pastor at Community United Methodist Church in Port Hadlock, which has been our church's honor and distinction to be Jefferson County's first, but not last, tiny home sponsor. And as Judy said, last November I got a phone call from Peter Bonian saying, hey, I heard your church has some property that we can put a tiny home village on. And I said, well, yes and no. Yes, we have the property, but no, right now it's under lease to Olecap for the South 7 senior apartments. But whatever you work out with Olecap, and thank you, Olecap, the Methodist Church will be the least of your problems. So once we got all that worked out, they put the tent across the parking lot from my office window and went to town building these wonderful houses. Commissioner Brotherton and several other people got on board with it, but we didn't have to jump through a lot of hoops. And literally overnight, they started building and putting this thing together and then working out the wrinkles as we went around. And so it was our pleasure to go ahead and say, yes, you can use this property because we're not using it, nobody else is, so let's make some good use of it. So now, as of today, Peter's Place has been up and running officially for 7 months. They had the grand opening on January the 1st, and here it is now July 31st, and they've been up and running now for 7 months. And speaking as the pastor of the church, we have had absolutely no problems whatsoever out of these residents. They're our neighbors, and we've gotten to know them. We value their friendship. It matters to them, and it matters to us. Just another human being that's fallen on hard times. I had a lady show up in at our church a week and a half ago. Her landlord decided to move into the house, and she's homeless, and she's 75 years old, living in her car with her cat. What do? You know? I signed her up and sent her to Bayside. Hopefully, she'll find a place to live and a place to stay. Your being here today means you want to be a somebody that wants to do something about that. Just by your showing up and touring these homes and listening to the speakers and enjoying the music and seeing what you can do. But you need to take it a step further. Become part of the solution by giving money, swinging a hammer, slapping some paint, doing whatever you can. Please come out and take a look at Peter's Village. Look at these wonderful little houses here. And thank you. Thank you, Judy.
Scott just mentioned speak to your elected officials. Greg is one of our county commissioners. Come on up, Greg.
Thank you very much, Judy, and thank you everyone for being here and for being part of the community build. I did not do a lot for Peter's Place. A little bit of kind of liaison work between the county and this great community project. And I do feel that we have traction, you know, in a lot of different arenas, the faith-based areas and the government, county and city working together to work on this really intractable crisis that we're all dealing with. You know, even if we are comfortably housed, we all recognize that it's our neighbors that don't have a place to stay. And so I really appreciate your interest in this work. And I feel like all of these different agencies are kind of getting their feet under them. We're toddlers, you know. We've been pretty good at parallel play, and I think it's about time that we progress to kindergarten and start playing together as we create safe housing for residents in this community. So I'm really excited to be here. I'm going to be here for the rest of the afternoon, sitting at the Housing Task Force table. Love to chat with you, hear your ideas and your comments and how we can work together. I'm hoping that we get some of these wooden tents at a safe landing pad for the fairgrounds population, and that this project just keeps building up the steam that has been so great to watch, to use the community energy to the betterment of our community and to making it a more resilient and sustainable place, and showing people what we can do in Jefferson County and Port Townsend. I just want to say thank you for being here, for being part of this. It's a great project. I'm really, really proud for the small part that I played in it. So thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Randy Welly, one of the builders of the community build, and have been involved since the beginning through 24 beds now. And we've expedited how we build these little structures. Some of our volunteers have put together templates so that we can build them faster. We have a roof framing jig here. The rafters can be cut and set in, and it's sped up the process quite a bit. We built 12 structures before in 4 months. It's now taking a couple of months to build 12 structures.
It's a big difference, Randy.
Yeah, we're getting more efficient, and it's been fun to see that. All the structure itself is complete. They have beds in them. We still have to do electrical, and we have some built-in shelving and desk unit so that they're quite cozy and comfortable.
Randy Willey, thank you. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
I'm Jesse Thomas, organizer with the Community Build Project and board member of Olympic Housing Trust.
You've been involved in the community build in a very key way, and that is architecturally.
Yeah, so at the beginning I kind of came into the project with a background in designing. So we took this template that was already developed in Seattle, the Low-Income Housing Institute, and we were just like, all right, let's just run with this. Let's not design the wheel. And we had the plans for them and the materials list already made. We just modified it. Boom, we were going, like within a couple of weeks. And since then, we've revised the process a little bit. You know, the builders are like, okay, hey, they have a comment, you know, like this would be a lot easier if we did this. So we implement that change. And now we've got to this point where we're pretty satisfied with how we're building these. It's very inexpensive. We're really utilizing our materials, and they're easy to build. You know, like, we got the system. All right, we got it. So now we feel kind of like we're on this highway just moving forward with our system. We've got a low-cost system for providing temporary housing, which, I mean, a temporary housing unit, it's not just used for a year and then thrown away. It keeps going. There's always going to be a need for temporary housing unless we become, like, a socialist country. And considering the way things are moving in the future, you know, it's just there's going to be a need. There will be new permanent housing, but there's always going to be a need for temporary housing. And these units are going to last for a while. I mean, I'd say at least 20 years we'll be utilizing these.
That's pretty impressive at 20 years. The transitional part is key to anything. Transition is key to anything, actually.
Yeah, Yeah, transition. And that's what Bayside Housing is committed to, is transitioning people.
Hi, I'm Chanel Rosenfeld. I am the case manager here at Bayside Housing and Services. Right now, I'm standing in front of a beautiful little tiny home with purple trim and a turquoise door that we have set up to hopefully be moved to a site to house some of our unhoused residents soon. We've had such a wonderful turnout today and some really great questions that I really welcome. You know, it can be difficult to know what everyone is thinking. And so when people have questions for me, it makes me really happy. So I can not only answer their questions, but maybe they bring up something that I haven't thought of before or help me come up with solutions that we haven't thought of before. So it's feeling really good today.
What are some of the most interesting questions that you've had today?
I think my favorite question and solution was talking about, will people be bringing shopping carts back from QFC to their homes? And the answer is, well, that's theft. So no, you're not allowed to take the shopping cart from QFC. And the solution was maybe we provide some of the folding buggies for people if they're having a difficult time with transportation or prefer to walk. It'd be really easy for us to provide a few folding buggies that they can take to and from and share as a community.
And you're a case manager, so what clients do you handle right now and where?
Right now, I'm still being introduced to a lot of different clients. I'm working mainly at the Bayside Tower, so a lot of our individuals that are housed there. I also spend a lot of time down at the fairgrounds. I do a little bit of work at Peter's Place, so I'm all over the place at the moment, just learning about the people that we serve, and I will be the main case manager for Pat's Place.
Chanel, what's your background?
I have a lot of different things going on in my background. I am a certified early childhood special education teacher with a degree also in educational psychology and a reading specialty. I also have set up very similar communities to this while I was living in Germany. So I lived in Berlin, Germany for a while, about 5 years. And while I was there, I was working in social services for youth and families. I also did the same thing in Seattle for a while, but not long enough, sadly.
Yeah. Chanel Rosenfeld from Bayside Housing, thank you so much, case manager.
Yes, thank you. I hope you have a wonderful day.
Hi, I'm Kathy Hartman. I'm a volunteer with Housing Solutions Network.
Kathy, how did you end up being a volunteer with Housing Solutions?
About a year and a half, 2 years ago, Housing Solutions Network brought the original video that they produced to my neighborhood and showed it to us, and I was touched immediately by that video. And having moved here from a community where housing suddenly changed the culture of the community because it was out of reach for many working people, and I didn't want that to happen in Port Townsend, so I volunteered. I have nothing against people moving here. It's a beautiful place to live. But I think if you move here, you have a responsibility to give back to your community, anywhere you live. And if you are blessed with the means to buy an expensive home with lots of rooms, then hopefully you will give back either by renting out some of that space to someone in need, providing monetary assistance, working within the community towards housing for those who are in need. But you can't be a part of a community and not help build towards solutions to the problems in that community.
There's an educational component connected with this. And there are things that people maybe don't think about as homeowners or potential homeowners here in town that are really important. What would be one of the most important things to you?
I think thinking creatively. We have an aging population here. I watched my own parents age. And they wanted to stay in their home, and so we were able to get someone in. I think for this population, if you've got an empty room and you're starting to age, make a friend now with someone younger. It keeps you younger, it keeps you safe, and you've got someone there. What a win-win solution for both you and that person you take in. I think that's an easy one.
Joe Knoll, Jefferson County Sheriff. Art Frank, I'm with the Sheriff's Office.
What's been your impression so far of when you've been looking around at these buildings that have been put together, the kitchen shelter and all the rest of it? What are your feelings, your honest feelings about transitional housing?
Well, I think that's something that's necessary, and they're calling them wooden tents, I guess, but to me they're like little houses, and they're I think they're quite nice. I would like to live in one myself, and I'm excited to see them be put to use and start working on helping some of the less fortunate in the community.
Art, when you think about the community as a whole, what are some of your reservations that you might have, and what are some of the positive things that you might have about this whole project?
Well, the positive things are the backing of the community. It's that many people can get behind it instead of just one group of people. So there can be, 100 people supporting it instead of one person doing 100% of the work or one small group. Honestly, I just worry there's not going to be enough. I think it's going to be very desirable. I think there's going to be a huge demand for it. I think there's already a huge demand for it, and I just hope the need can be met. And I just think, it's disappointing not to be able to help everyone that wants the help.
The whole idea of homelessness, it's very deep, and it's more than just providing housing for people. There's a lot, I think most people know there's a whole lot that goes with it, and we need to become more equipped to get down to the roots and deal with it. So yeah, there's a lot more that needs to be done, but it's definitely a step in the right direction, and I'm excited for the people that'll get to live in these tiny homes.
Now, it's just a drop in the bucket, part of a much larger picture that we have to take a look at, isn't it?
Okay. Absolutely. I mean, when you're dealing with mental health, when you're dealing with drug addiction or just poverty-driven homelessness, this is a way to make that foundation so you can work on everything else. Without the basic need of housing, how do you fix it? How do you work on anything else?
Art Frank and Joel Noel, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
My name is Lara Barnum, and I am a housing coordinator at Ole Cap. I field calls and take applications for people who have back due rent, and they qualify. And my biggest impression today is that there is a tremendous amount of interest, and people want to be involved. They're ready to step up and be involved.
Hello, I'm Rita Frangioni. And I work with Ole Cap in two areas, both concerned with serving military veterans and their families. And I work with the Supportive Services for Veteran Families in outreach, and also with VetConnect, a veterans outreach program. I'm very impressed with the turnout today and the support from the community for this effort. And just the whole idea of it, having been a grassroots community project, there's an amazing future for this tiny home concept, and I'm just really excited about it. Glad to be here today.
Hi, I'm Autumn Nolan. I am a youth specialist, and I'm also a housing specialist. I help with rental assistance, and I also do the youth programs. I think today the biggest thing for me was just seeing how many people want to get involved and want to know more and just are so interested in, this happening. And I've talked to a lot of people who just want to volunteer and just be part of it. And it's great to know that this community has that want to help. It's great to see that.
And Autumn, you're involved in the youth program. What does that entail?
There's a couple different sections of the youth program. We help youth navigate their way through finding housing and being able to afford that housing, and just supportive services like a check-in phone call, like, hey, how's it going? What's been wrong with your week? How can we make it better? What's been good about your week? Just support. Just supporting them through their way of life as a youth. And with lived experience and homelessness myself, I've seen the struggle, I've been part of the struggle, and it's good to know that there is help there out there, and a lot of the youth don't understand that. A lot of the community doesn't understand how much help is available.
Thanks, all three of you.
Yeah.
Hi,
I'm Amy Howard, representing Habitat for Humanity today at the Community Build Project. I was so incredibly grateful that the Community Build Project invited all of these other housing agencies in to interact with the community and to sit in these houses and show them off. We have had the opportunity to talk to just all sorts of fantastic people today. We've given information and received information. I've got a sign-up list for volunteers in the future. Habitat is currently building my two homes in active construction, clearing lots for a couple of more, and has a couple of really big projects lined up for the future. So having the opportunity to talk to some new volunteers was really great for us today.
Amy Howard, council member, thank you so much for spending some time with KPTZ.
I'm Justine Gonzalez-Berg, and I'm here both wearing two hats today as the director of the Housing Solutions Network and also in my capacity as a volunteer board member for the Olympic Housing Trust.
Explain the Olympic Housing Trust.
So Olympic Housing Trust is a community land trust, which is also called a housing trust. You can kind of use those names interchangeably. And the fundamental idea of a housing trust is to take community assets, land, housing, land for housing, out of the private market and preserve it for community use, and in this case for permanent affordability in housing. And this is, but housing trusts can also manage quality affordable rentals. When they do neighborhood developments, they can help create limited equity housing cooperatives or develop, you know, different types of housing. So it could look like smaller structures with some communal space. And I feel excited about adding this kind of model to our housing continuum here because of that flexibility and because we have such a ripe community for really thinking outside of the box in terms of what we want housing to look like in the future. And the other reason is developing new housing is so challenging here for so many reasons. With a housing trust, you can use existing homes and take them out of the private market and preserve them as affordable, so different ways it's being used.
One of the many solutions that are presented here at this open house, this wonderful open house with all of these transitional shelters that are on display here. Justine Gonzalez-Berg, thanks so much for everything that you do.
I always
want to thank you every time I see you.
Well, thanks so much for letting me talk about it and for being here and collecting some of the stories and solutions that are happening today.
Walking around in Port Townsend, everybody is asking who we are. Unexpected is the place to be, yeah. Let your mind be.
This week's Compass was written and produced by Chris Bricker. The Compass airs Saturday at noon and repeats the following Monday at noon and 5 p.m. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream live 24 hours a day. Executive producer for Compass is Steve Evans. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, this is Chris Bricker.